Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to another edition to the UAW Factory Whistle Show, July 24th. Wow, it'll be winter time real quick, 2022. Wow, July is gone. See ya.
Close.
Good Lord. Anyway, we have Jimmy. We got a bunch of callers, though. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join the conversation or start your own conversation.
Please push one. Good evening, folks. I thought I heard Scott back there. Are you there, Scott?
Yes.
All right. I was looking at the brochure I was handed today when I registered. Anybody that wants to register for the convention, you can do so Monday at 7 a.m. until the convention recesses for the day. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, you have to be there at 8 a.m. to register. You have to register each day as a guest. There are no fees. Door opens at 8 a.m. Meeting gavels at 9 a.m. From what I was told, if you're not there at 9 a.m., you're not allowed in until they bring you in, whatever that may be. I don't know. Go ahead. Take it away.
Wow. Was Adrian available to get a ticket?
Oh, yes. Me, Adrian, and Brian all got our pass for Monday. Now, as I told you in text, some of my retiree people from my local that were – everybody I know that was sent by the local, they got one pass good for the whole week, which I think is kind of bullshit that I got to drive down there every day a couple hours early, but I don't get to make the rules.
Right.
Well, they
don't want you there.
Yeah, you know, we're all good. Pardon, Don?
I said they don't want you there, Jimmy. They want to make it more
difficult. I know, but you should have seen the look on her face. I got to have fun. You know me. She seen my driver's license and asked me if I was related to the ex-Secretary of Defense. Is she talking about my uncle? She turned three shades of pale, and I says, "Now, honey, I had another uncle that was in this international union, Richard Dangin." Well, she shot right up then.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
But it was all worth it. I mean, I saw a lot of hitters there. I saw the guy there that is under the accusations of taking that $95,000 of our union funds for campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trinkets. Yeah, he was down there handing them out today. Imagine that.
Oh, wow. Hey, I got a couple of questions. Cinnamon is doing, I want to give Brian a donation, but I can't figure out what the hell you guys are doing with this, I mean, Cash App or whatever. So I had her do it, but she can't do it unless she's joins the member or whatever. So somebody go ahead and okay her. Please.
Adrian shouldn't even have to be okay. She shouldn't even have to be okay because, as far as I know, with that app, you didn't even have to be a union member. We just had to have your mailing information because of that requirement.
Oh, okay. Well, she's under the impression that she had to be a member, and it said pending, and it was pending before she went to work. And so somebody... I'm Pinder, and we like to donate.
I'm sure Adrian will be on the show. I've asked Brian to come on tonight because I thought we really need to get his word out. Trust me, they know who the hell he is.
You know, I think we can do it this way. We can simulcast. I think he can be on his show, on the his page, and do his show as he's doing this show. So I think he can simulcast both if he wants to.
Right.
That's a suggestion. We got 517. Let me get 517. You're on.
Hello.
Hello.
517.
Hello, everybody. AJ.
Hey, JJ.
Hey,
JJ. Damn, I didn't know you were 517. How you doing, you freak? I was worried about you. I thought you already dropped out of school and was afraid to talk to old daddy.
No, on the contrary. Been busy as all get out.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but still holding a 4.0 in school.
Very good, very good. Scott told me what you were doing, and I started singing Green Acres. Just for you.
Yeah, trying to start a farm, work, and go to school has been been keeping me really busy.
I told Scott, that's a lot on the plate, man. That's a hell of a lot on the plate.
Oh, I should have done it when I was younger and I had more energy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, go ahead. I remember last year you were calling up just to tell us you were eating a big old juicy steak. So I don't really feel sorry for you. Yeah, I remember there was more than one time you were telling us about that nice steak on the grill.
Well, yeah, haven't been doing, I think I've grilled twice this year. That's it.
Well, yeah, because I asked Scott, I said, you know, JJ hasn't rubbed it in that he can afford a steak and we can't. And so we figured you were working too hard. Let me get Adrian on here. Boom, boom, boom. Adrian. Or Carrie. One of the two, I think. 734.
Hey,
Adrian.
Yes, how's everyone? Hello,
Louie.
Adrian. And you better keep that 4.0 going.
Yeah. Your ass.
Yeah, I'm coming for him. You know that.
That's right. Man. I know.
That's why I'm staying on straight and narrow, because there's no way you're going to get me to cross Adrian.
Well, she put me over her knee a few weeks ago. I kind of liked it myself, but hey, I'm kind of different. Let me get Carrie. Miss Carrie's on, sexy voice. Go ahead, Carrie. Say hi to Daddy.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Big Daddy.
Woohoo. I'm gone. I got to go to the bathroom. Give me some tissue, Otis. Damn. Okay, I'm back. We got a lot of work to do and a short time to do it, so let's carry on. Scott, Jimmy, Adrian, JJ, Carrie, Miss Carrie, take it away. Oh, and 313 is here also. But we have 22 callers besides the ones I just mentioned. Push one on your keypad if you'd like to join the conversation, and I'll get you right on. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right. Hey, Jimmy.
Okay.
You tell them about
Jimmy.
Your morning?
I did give him the hours, but Don was asking something about the Cash App that I wasn't experienced with, so I left that part. But I explained to him the registration times for Monday start at 7 a.m., and then the rest of the week they're all at 8 a.m. Doors open at 8 a.m., and gavel comes down at 9 a.m.
All right.
But I didn't know about the Cash App because Don... He was trying to make a donation. Well, I ain't going to bullshit you. Cinnamon was trying to make the donation.
No. I tried to earlier in the week. I tried to. And I had everything screwed up somehow. I don't know what I did. And I don't never heard of this Cash App, so I didn't know how to do it. So I told Cinnamon. So I said, did you send some dinero to Brian? She said, oh, I forgot. He brought up the Cash App thing or the Facebook site. And she thought you had to be a member. So she put, you know, it was pending. She said, when they accept me, I'll be able to send it. So somebody accept her so she can send
I'm going
donation.
As fast as I can. I think the rest of the committee members sometimes forget to go in and accept people.
Yeah, and Carrie, just because
I have a lot on my plate to do, so.
No, I know that, but Carrie, you know, although my wife will be joining, you know, we don't have to talk about our affair or anything.
Oh Lord.
Listen, just Carrie, keep it down. 248, I'm going to put you on right now. 248, you're on.
Hello,
John. I just accepted Cinnamon.
Oh, thank you
very
much.
Thanks,
Jimmy. I appreciate that, buddy. 248, you're on.
Hello, 248.
Beth Morrow.
Hello.
Hi, it's Beth Morrow, Local 163. I was just calling to say hi to everybody and see how everything's going. I missed you last weekend.
Oh, how are you? Welcome.
Not too bad. Yeah, thanks.
I can join in anytime you want, dear.
All right, thanks.
Absolutely. So, I want to let this out. I did appeal our local election.
Yes,
you did. 13 days later, I received a letter from International, but they received my appeal. It was being sent forward, and I haven't heard nothing else from them. I did call and talk to the UAW monitor. I emailed them and talked to them twice, and I was told both times, they do not get involved in local elections. I said, this local election is specific to the constitutional delegation. This starts the process.
Jesus.
And then we find out, the monitor comes out and says, look, UAW is still as corrupt as it has been. It don't look good. They're not cooperating with us. I'm over it.
Scotty.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Go in your garbage, pull out two tin cans and tie strings to the end. And go ahead and talk to us that way, because it'll sound a hell of a lot better than that crap you're using right now. I'm just saying.
Whatever you got going on in the background, Scott, it's picking it up. TV or something.
That a little better?
No.
That's a little better?
It's quiet. It's your phone.
Oh, well. Not a whole lot I can do about that.
Yeah, I know, you cheap bastard. Go ahead.
Stop it. Is that any better at all?
We can hear you, Scott. Go ahead, bud.
I'm asking if that's any better.
It doesn't matter.
Scott,
any better.
He doesn't want to give you a kudos. You sound better, brother.
Be quiet, Jay.
Scott, you got me, Scott.
Let us get our brother Paul on, and it's spinning. Paul, welcome.
Yep. Greetings, you rabble rousers.
Greetings.
Can anybody tell me what the monitor's function is supposed to be? I thought they were supposed to clean up the UAW.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
really
let them get away. Yeah.
We have almost 100 pages of official rules, and in those rules, it says that the monitor does interact with the elections. So I don't understand.
Well, you would think they would.
Yeah.
Well, why have a monitor if they can't, make decisions about the election? That doesn't make sense. Why pay somebody's relative, probably.
No,
the problem is because we can't get these elections, situated.
Well, I'm gonna put it this way. I can't put it any better than this. I had a couple other people look at this, and they thought this appeal was a slam dunk just on the simple violations from underneath the language in the Constitution itself talking about the constitutional delegate elections, period. And I put down the violations, and my case was better than the other local that got to run their election this last week. I looked at that case. Mine was better than theirs.
That's why, Scotty, they're dragging their feet. Now it's too late. You'll probably get an answer about, the day of the conventions.
it may get is there the possibility that it could be addressed at the convention? I doubt it, because the constitutional language was pretty specific that this needed to be handled before the convention.
I was going to say, what the hell, you know, why wait, you know, do it at the convention? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it is what it is, I guess, right now.
I'm surprised they haven't got back with you, Scott. Sound like you had a good, and the monitor lied to you. So that just tells you about our monitor.
Which one are you dealing with, can I ask, Scott? Are you dealing with the Michigan monitor or the head monitor? Because I was unaware of until late last week that I guess there's so much corruption that Michigan needed their own monitor.
Oh, wow.
Irregardless to how it goes, Neil Barkowski, whatever his name is, he is the monitor. That is who we hired.
Exactly, but he's now appointed somebody over Michigan. That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, but he has different representatives on his staff. Yeah,
I agree.
So that we already know. The thing about it is they're too damn lazy to read that Constitution. They're lawyers. They are supposed to be able to read that Constitution and understand it, not try to interpret it. It means what it says. All you have to do is read. We're not that damn foolish that we can't read. Now,
here,
I'm about fed up and sick of them.
Amen.
You saw how bogue they were today when he was handing out them trinkets right behind us. My God, I mean, that was the man right there. You can do hard at work. Thank you, Frank. You're still the prick.
$95,000 worth.
That's right.
That's a whole lot of prick, allegedly.
Ain't it? 1,500 backpacks. Gave out 800 of them at the conference. Got mugs and ink pens left.
Well,
you seen them handing them out while we were right there, didn't you, sister? They were right behind that table over there to the left where they registered. I don't know if you caught that.
No, I didn't. I didn't catch it.
Yeah, that's
I was too busy talking with the head security.
That's why I was in their backpacks. I was just shocked that they were all required to be down there Saturday morning. I mean, they've been on the Union's dime since Saturday morning.
No, they've been on our dime since Saturday morning.
Well, I know, but they call it the Union. Well, you got to remember,
we are the Union.
Entitled. They're entitled.
Yes, entitled.
We're only the Union when they want something from us.
You got it.
You're
right.
Exactly. And usually they get it one way or the other.
Yeah.
They'll get it.
So there's a couple of things outside of the delegation and the Constitutional Convention this week that we probably should touch on. This one is highly upsetting to me. That Gary Jones and Dennis Williams are out of prison.
They're out of prison? Is that what you said?
Jones is enjoying his 41,000-acre estate that's paid for. Didn't you read that article?
Wow.
Yes. In $1 million house.
It's been all over the news.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's ironic they both got released the same flipping day.
Yeah, early.
Jones got out. Went to his new $1 million home.
In Texas.
He only served less than 9 months of a 28-month sentence.
Yep,
9 months.
Under
the STEP Act.
Not nice.
Des Williams got out, and he served less time, I think, than he did.
Warden considered Jones to be an exceptional inmate and his conduct behind the bars, spotless criminal record, his lawyer said. Iaccobelli got out. And I'm trying to think. With Jones went to, I believe it was a 28-acre parcel on his $1 million home. And then the other thing I think we probably should touch on is the International Executive Board got a pension increase.
They got a what?
They got a pension increase.
Oh, my God.
How much is their pension now?
Who's telling them? Nobody's going to tell us how much their pension is.
No.
Got to look for the LL2s to come out. Maybe it'll be there.
Maybe. Or it could be under the 992. It's going to be under somewhere. Somebody, Jim Mattis and I know somebody might know how to find that out. Maybe.
Wow.
Well, let's talk about who put that in place. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Hey, Carrie, can you repeat that? I didn't quite get it. What did you say?
I said, well, let's talk about who put that through. Wasn't it a memorandum with Ray Curry's name on it?
Oh, for the pension increase?
Yeah, who authorized it? Who signed this thing into effect? That's what she's asking.
I believe Curry did.
Would have to be, wouldn't it? I don't know how that works.
Wouldn't it have to go before the board, and then wouldn't the delegates have to vote on that?
That would have to come through the trustees, through the delegate, then to Curry for signature, wouldn't it? I think that's how that. I don't know. That falls into like that staff agreement, and their gray area. Because somebody posted a copy of that the other day, I don't know, or a little bit of it. Did you see where they get their raises yearly down there?
Okay.
So I don't know how that works. I don't know how you can negotiate something with yourself across the table when it's other people's money, but I guess that's allowed. Is that because we're a one-party system? I don't know.
Either there. They're thinking they might have a big change, a tidal wave coming over the Solidarity House, so they want to get all the money they can get.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking before this convention, they're over here trying to get all their shit in place before everything goes down.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too.
That's why I thought they'd been leaving so much money in the locals, because, I mean, if you look at how much money these locals have around here, that's a scary figure.
Yeah, they got a lot.
Scott knows what I mean, because when he checked on it, he was mesmerized to find out. I thought my place had much. You guys had me, what, triple, Scott? You were at six, weren't you? Something like that.
I'll leave out, please.
Yeah, but I don't know how that works. There's so much happening right now in every different area. Like I said, we already know how it works when they let I don't know how to word it different, Scott, but I'm going to say the sky is a temporary. They let the sky run, and he won president. We've already seen what happened. They let sky function for, how long was that, Scott? Sky functioned for a year?
I think so.
And then he stepped on some toes here at the region, and they said Sky couldn't be a president no more, even though they had let Sky function. They cleared him to run, and they did all that shit. Then they removed him, but then when they removed him by the Constitution, they get to install somebody until the next election. That's the only reason why I would see they would support a Trump in our election for president. A retiree should be able to run before any Trump, I would think.
Right.
And for you retirees out there, think about this. It's 2 4-year contracts now. They want to go to a 6-year contract. You're having a problem getting it through 2 4-years. What are you going to do with 2 6? Come with Brian Keller and us. Everybody's whole after 90 days. Fuck this shit.
It was a memorandum. They said what Joe Cesney put this out. It says, with a potentially close race for the presidency looming in this fall, United Auto Workers President Ray Curry signed a memorandum boosting the pensions of members of the staff council. The UAW in-house union for UAW representatives responsible for contract enforcement and grievances. It went from 1.1 to 2.2%. They doubled it.
Okay.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, but you don't know what they're doubling. That's the sad part there.
Right. And if I remember
Go ahead.
Well, think about it. If I remember right, and think about this for a minute, didn't Dick talk about how their retirement is set up different from our pensions, how they put money in, and then it's matched out to a certain amount, and they don't have to claim that?
Yes, that's where I'd like to go, but I don't have that staff agreement, but you're spot on. They get the regular pension, but there's other thing they attribute to that they match that with our union dollar fund. And Dick told me a lot of that money, that's where they would hit you up for the, what do they call it, the flower fund money and all that other shit money was supposed to come out of those accounts. But Dick always said all that money wound up offshore, but I could never prove that going through his shit.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Well, I think we've just heard a lot of reasons why we need regime change at Solidarity House.
Exactly, Paul.
These people on this show know we need regime change, but we need to get through the people listening. You got to vote for somebody that's there now. You can't vote for somebody that's working for Ray Curry right now, been there for 20 years, or been sitting over here doing that. If they've been there and they haven't raised hell, they ain't going to change.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to ask me something. How come you got so many enemies? Well, it's because I've got values. I don't get along easy with people to screw over Don Couch and Scott Singledecker and Adrian Dantley. If they're doing something or saying something wrong, I'm the prick that'll stop it or at least bring them to the mouth. If you want to say it to Don, say it to his face. That's me.
Yep.
Well,
yeah,
I did
see an article that said about that the monitor's not getting any cooperation from anybody or – you know, there's so many things still open under investigation. They're not getting any cooperation from anybody. So, yeah, if that's the case, then none of them need to be down there.
Right.
If they've seen all this corruption going on and they refuse to say anything, obviously they know something.
You're damn
right.
They're
not getting any cooperation. There's like 13, I don't know, I forget how many open investigations still. 19 open investigations. And they're not getting any cooperation. Well, then if they're not getting any cooperation, that means you're guilty. And they all need to go.
Cancel
the DOJ has been notified also.
Cancel the damn convention until you get it straightened out. That's what you do.
Well, what they really need to do is take the elections right out of the hands of the delegates. There's no reason why you should have to be nominated by a delegate. You should be able to self-nominate. Just like
that's
you
right.
do in a local election. I don't know what the deal is with the monitor. He must be apparently he's put a lot of faith in this Ray Curry, but what he doesn't understand is even if you completely clean up the legal corruption in the UAW, it's still a morally corrupt institution.
Correct.
They have a system they set up years ago that punishes you if you do the right thing and rewards you if you do the wrong thing. Many years ago, I got a phone call from a president of local in the Detroit area, telling me she was getting a couple of Flint area reps, and she wanted to know what to expect. And I told her that if you want to hang on to a good contract, you're on your own, but if you want to give your contract away, they'll show you how to do it. And that's the problem. You're rewarded for doing immoral, corrupt things. And we need people in there that have never been part of the system, that have never bowed their knee to it, that have never taken the payoff from management or the union leadership. And, you know, one thing people that are listening to the show need to do is contact anybody who is retired. Other than the pukes, there aren't any happy retirees, because we've been screwed every way they could screw us. They took away our Christmas bonus. They threw us into Viva and cut our benefits. Oh, what's it been, like 15 years or something since there's been a pension increase? So if you retire at age 55 and live to 95, you're going to be living on the same pension. And, you know, they've shown they have absolutely no respect for us when they don't want retirees to be able to run for the International Executive Board. And I believe the reason is there's a lot of old school union leaders out there that are retired that have just been disgusted with the deep level of moral and legal corruption in UAW. And every retiree needs to vote against these morons. There's enough retirees that we could tip this election.
Yeah,
if you can reach out to them, because a lot of them, including some of my neighbors that I have, they don't go to any union meetings or anything anymore. They're not even involved. If we could get them more involved, that would be different.
Yeah.
Some locals have a large retiree unit, but some people are just, they retire and they're not involved. If we can get them involved, that would be great.
Well,
we have a large retiree chapter at Local 600. And we haven't had a meeting since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we'll probably have one right before the vote so they can introduce the new liaison, you know, with the retiree liaison, and make retirees feel like they're not forgotten. When we've been forgotten for 20 years.
Yep.
They couldn't wait to get most of us out of the plant because we were the people that consistently voted against these bad contracts.
I agree with you.
Once we were gone, they could screw with the next generation.
In that one case that they were talking about, that was from the Free Press, there's a paragraph that says, in that case, the union had taken affirmative steps to prevent the monitor from learning of the investigation by excluding a representative of the monitor from attending an executive session during a meeting of the union's top officials, the International Executive Board, in which it was discussed, and there were no notes taken. Think about that. No notes.
Does that mean he gets a referral?
Yeah. The corruption is still alive and well and kicking, and it's very strong yet down in Detroit.
Yep, and I believe that somebody was paid off, and I think it was the FBI. Because they could have dug a lot deeper and got a lot more scum. But they gave all the rules back to the Solidarity House. We're still in the same thing we were before. Same thing.
Yeah.
And people keep voting in these idiots that they voted for president and vice president, and these people are running.
Yeah.
And expect change. Forget it. You're going to get change.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem is the union is well financed, and you know, the opposition is just a handful of rabble rousers, but that may change in the near future.
Well, I hope so. I've been waiting for it for a long time, Paul.
Because may start getting support from people in the communities. Because if you have a small business in Flint, and how much is the population of Flint going down, or Saginaw, where it's been cut more than in half since good old jointness. You know, it's impacted a lot of people. It hasn't just impacted the people in the plants. I mean, jointness drained the prosperity right out of the I-75 corridor.
Yeah. There used to be it's probably still there, a little party store on Vance Lake. And when we got a raise, they would get a raise, a small one, but, you know, a quarter, 30 cents, and the business prospered. But now we used to have, there was a bar. It's gone now completely.
Yeah.
That was a classic bar, boy. You know, I've been hearing about that 50 years, and it's gone.
Well, it used to be three Coney Islands at the corner of Atherton and, you know, right there in Vance Lake, rather.
Yeah.
In Bristol. And now there's only one, and that's not prospering.
That's right. It's barely hanging on.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know, most people in the community know that the UAW is screwed up. I mean, when you look at it, cooperation, this is the best you can get when you're working with the company.
Best you can get.
Yeah. Pay cuts. No, no job. Plant's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole ball of wax was sold on it to us on the idea that you go into team concept, you get input in your job, working with a company, increasing quality means the cheap work. And instead, General Motors doesn't want to build anything anymore that's not expensive, and the same thing with Ford. They've given away the low end part of the market, the mid price part of the market, and we're supposed to cooperate with the crap while they slowly bring the auto worker to extinction.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys know this, but I'm going to bring this up, and I don't know how many of you guys work for GM or not and know about the truck division with GM, but I discovered, I was at Pontiac, and I was at Fort Wayne with the truck division, and I relocated back to Michigan in 2020, and I'm at the Romulus engine and transmission plant. So like January, February, I'm looking at our schedule of transmissions because I work in machining, trying to figure out where all these, I'm like, why are we working all this overtime? Where are all these engines going? So me and my team leader got on the computer to find out where all these engines are going. And in the meantime, you know, we're looking it up and we're finding out that there's one going down to Springfield, Ohio. I'm like, we don't have a plant in Springfield, Ohio. Why are all these transmissions? Well, they're going for the trucks. This truck, that truck, this heavy-duty truck, that one. I'm like, what the hell is there? So he went into the computer and looked at it. And in 2019, they took over our fleet trucks out of Fort Wayne. And here I was trying to get a 96 move to follow our dualies and our single cabs that went up to Flint, and to come find out, they didn't. They gave them to Navistar, and Navistar is building our trucks, and nobody at Fort Wayne even knew it. Because I kept saying, why, to my shop chairman, why can't I take a 96 move to try to get back to Michigan? why can't I follow the product? Well, there's a reason why I couldn't follow the product, because all the product wasn't going there.
Wow.
Remember, we followed that, Scott. Vic brought that to our attention before that happened. Yeah, we brought that out because at that time, GM also got out of that battery adventure that Ford jumped right in down there.
But nobody knew about this. This is in February of 2022. So I'm calling back to my plant and all these people that I work with, tons of people, especially the ones that have been there over 30 years that came from Wisconsin, and they're on top of it like flies on shit. It went swept under the rug, and they about fell on the floor and didn't even know that we got sold out, and our trucks went to Nampa, started to get built, all our food stuff. And here they were thinking it went to Flint.
Wow. Is that the 560 you're talking about?
They are fleet. They're like the ones that go to U-Haul, the ones that go to rental companies, ones that go to city vehicles. They're the single cab. There's a single cab, long bed, short bed, and they're also there's a heavy duty one in there too.
I know the
transmissions. There's like four or five different trucks that they're building at Navistar, and we looked at their website, and they're hiring at $17-$18 an hour.
Well, that makes
they're
a
building
lot.
Our trucks. They come right off the lot that have a bow tie right on the front.
Well,
nobody knew it.
Well, one reason they're doing that is they don't have capacity anymore. Look at all the truck plants they closed. It's in Pontiac. They closed East, West, and Central. They got rid of the truck plant in Linden, New Jersey. They closed the one in Wisconsin. And they don't have capacity.
They closed the one in Oshawa, and then they reopened it.
Right.
Correct.
They basically, they're following their plan. Mary Barra wants to basically pretty much get rid of the entire UAW. Everybody wants to do everything in joint ventures.
I would love to see somebody get...
Wasn't the reopening of Tier 2 people only, Scott?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what product exactly you're talking about.
It's the big one-ton cube truck, the 26-foot cab that U-Haul makes. It's the big delivery trucks that you see. They got lift tailgates. I know exactly what she's talking about. And the only thing brought it up because at the same time, the reason why that stood under the radar so easy is GM the same week sold their stock in that electric venture down there. And Ford bought it. Remember, they didn't even sell it 5 minutes, and Ford bought it.
But the trucks that they're building.
Is it the medium duty?
Hold on, everybody. Let her finish before we jump in.
You're going to discuss this forever. Don, do you have Messenger?
Messenger?
Never mind. You don't have it.
Hold on. On Facebook? Hold on. On Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah. I got Messenger.
I'm going to send you a message, okay?
Be nice.
For something you asked for.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you all. You can go back now.
All right.
Okay.
Did you
work
for Pontiac Truck and Bus?
I did.
Yes, I did.
You
worked at Pontiac East?
I worked at Truck and Bus. I don't know. They changed the name several times. Pontiac Truck and Bus.
I worked there, plant six. The thing is, you look at the whole sad story of the union and management. The union bends over backward and gives management what they want, and then they crap on the workforce and close their plant. They had a huge truck complex there in Pontiac, and they closed it all and shipped the work to Mexico.
Right.
But the stuff that we were building,
because I did the very last job. I was in quality control. I did the very last job on the Caroline before they went out the door. I cleared everything to ship. I worked in quality control for 11 years out there almost. And every truck that we would get that were baseline trucks, baseline, you know, like they didn't have any carpeting. They just had the plastic matting, you know, basic steering wheels, nothing leather. The stuff that would go to fleet vehicles like U-Haul or the ones that you can rent at Menards or the ones you can rent at Home Depot for an hour, whatever, or businesses, you know, renting them and you know, leasing them for a certain amount of time because, or whatever, you know, like the gas company or whatever. Those are the ones that are down at Navistar. We didn't see any of those baseline trucks come through anymore, ever. And here, the whole time, we thought they went to Flint. And I'm thinking, how the hell is Flint going to run all these dualies since they're taking the dualies away from us and the heavy-duty extended cab and single cab and run all those fleets? And they never went there. It made sense because they could only run like 33 an hour, and we were running like 77 an hour.
Yeah, and no outcry from the union. They're willing to put up with what anything management dishes out as long as they keep getting more appointed jobs and more joint funds money. That's a big reason we need change. We need to get people in our union that know how to act like union leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Instead of lapdogs for management.
That's right.
We gotta get some people in there to fight for these jobs back. We need these jobs back because they're outsourcing our departments. And now I finally get up here to Michigan, and now they're locking us out of not only a Red Circle in Orion, but now there's three Pontiac plants we can't get into anymore as of September. Yeah. And now they won't let us go out to the proving grounds or to the tech center.
Yeah.
And all these people got recall rates where I work to go to Plant Zero, which was DHAM, and nobody's getting called back because they're fighting over outsourcing all the battery departments. So now these people aren't even getting called back.
Yeah. Well, they're not putting up any real fight over outsourcing. We've been outsourced into oblivion. I remember around the 1990s, you'd see it in the newspapers about the age of the GM workforce and how that soon these people would be retiring and it was opening up jobs. But instead, when people retire, they just outsource their work.
Yeah. I remember it was in that contract where you were able to, you know, as each person retired, another person would move up from the second tier. And that stopped a while ago.
Right.
Yeah, it did.
We're just so disgusted. We got to get people in there to fight and get some of this stuff back. And I'm really hoping after this convention, we can get some people in there that will do the right thing.
I've been
a UAW member. You know, I mean, I'm fourth generation, but my great grandfather was an original millwright, first generation millwright at Willie's Jeep in Toledo. And our family, that's all you heard at the kitchen table. That's all you heard is my uncles and my grandpa and my great grandpa and people talking about this stuff and having a general understanding. And nowadays you don't hear that at the kitchen table. You don't hear this with your kids. You know, you don't hear this anymore. And they don't have a good understanding of what we're fighting for.
I don't know who that is, but it's your...
It's muffled.
Muffled.
Yeah.
Kimmy, I think that's you.
Might be me. Yeah, I'm not used to talking on a cell phone yet, but the thing is our top leaders really aren't fighting for anything. They're laying down for management, and management throws them a bone, throws them some more joint funds money, creates some more appointed jobs. We're getting a smaller workforce and a more bloated bureaucracy.
like at the truck plant before I left, and Scott, you can help me here. I'm not going to be. It was over 100 appointed jobs. So all automatically, when they were running for office, committeemen, whatever, they're already they already start with a plus 100, at least 100. And every time it was before election, believe me, they added more appointed jobs. And I remember we had an election, and they had a bunch of new hires coming through, and they marched them right into the voting facility and told them to vote.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. It's the corruption, and I'm surprised that the feds aren't still continuing this investigation, because they barely made it to the regions and to the locals, and some of these places are still a lot of nepotism, collusion, corruption still going on, and it's still being swept under the rug, and people are afraid to say anything because they'll get a target on their back.
It was in the Monitor's third status report. All of those things that you just named, the Monitor had concerns. The DOJ was alerted. So the DOJ is now. Hey, y'all. Love y'all. I'll talk to y'all soon. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
What happened?
I can't. I'm tired.
Oh, okay. Like somebody was talking, and somebody was talking over the person. I couldn't understand, you know.
No. I just said good night, everyone.
Oh, okay.
Because I know you only have
good night,
8 minutes left.
I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah,
I'll see you in the morning.
We got 37 minutes. I added a half hour. Now you guys want to go.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
I
see you in the morning.
See you in the morning, Jimmy.
To answer the lady's question, Don, I think Scott just found it. Late in 2018, Navistar and General Motors signed a long-term agreement to develop and assemble medium-duty and conventional cabs, 4 and 5 commercial vehicles. The two companies also have agreed under which Navistar manufactures a cutaway model of the GMD van, and then now they're going to go and they're going into hydrogen. Am I right, Scott?
That is correct.
Yeah, the 1H2 is going to be partnering up with Navistar and General Motors to put a hydrogen long haul truck on the road.
Yep.
Well. Really, that's about time.
Well, I think they had it a long time ago, Don, when they had them buses they gave to the city of Detroit and Windsor. That would have been the same damn thing.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And I remember watching T. Boone Pickens down in Texas, and he all his vehicles ran on that. He said, you just make sure you got a full deal and you're gone. And he's driving all over his farm with this. He said it's cheaper and it's cleaner. And he said everybody wants to talk about green energy and all that. And he said, but nobody wants to talk about this. And it's about time they start.
Right.
Enough said.
Well, it's no different than the EV1. You know, we're fighting to get the electric vehicles. You had it. You don't have to reinvent this. You got an upgraded battery. Come on. It's not that hard. You know? And like I said, 1968, you had a bus.
You know, the producer of that documentary has a connection to the JFK assassination. Just letting you know.
Oh.
Well, it doesn't really matter what kind of vehicles Jim comes up with. It doesn't help us if they don't build it in-house.
That's right.
That's right.
folks will wake up. That's the reason they're getting teachers, nurses, and casino workers, and everybody, anybody, right. And everybody they can, is because they know the UAW as we know it is going to be gone. So they're going to cover their ass. There's always going to be a UAW, but it won't be for auto workers.
Yeah. Well, the danger is this. We have a union that emphasizes jointness. What's going to happen when they organize these other areas and they work jointly with those managers?
Mm-hmm.
Are teachers going to be replaced by TV sets? I mean, that's new technology. The union's been dumb enough to go along with that for decades. If they organize police departments, are they going to say, well, it's okay for management to hire security guards instead of full-fledged police? This jointness mentality can destroy any workplace.
Yep. You're right. Sure can. And same thing in mentality as we have with the electric vehicles. Same mentality.
Yeah.
How many jobs are we going to lose?
Yeah.
How many jobs? And nobody seems to care.
No.
We're going to start an electric blazer out at $45,000. That's the starting point.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to sell a ton of those. And the trucks, $100,000. The Hummer, $125,000.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to sell a bunch of these.
They'll sell until Toyota and Honda and Nissan start producing them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you know how many Hummers they've actually sold this year?
No.
9. Zero, zero, 9. You know how many of them were called? You know how many of them were called? 9.
No.
Yeah,
like Danjen used to say, we've been in business for over 100 years and he still can't build a damn truck.
Yep.
They keep giving away customers, they won't be selling anything.
Oh, don't you know, Paul, that we don't go care about market share anymore?
Yeah.
Come on. That's back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Come on.
Right. But whatever business could you get away with that in management? Say we don't care how. Basically, they're saying we don't care how many customers we lose. And
right.
Then, Amazon has become a giant because they don't want to lose customers. They're going for every customer they can get. That's what Walmart did. I don't like those companies, but the thing is, if you give away the low-end and medium-priced part of the market, when those people can afford a higher-end vehicle, they're not going to buy GM. They're going to buy from whatever dealer they're buying from now. If they got a small Honda when they're in the market for a pickup truck, they're going to buy a Honda.
Well, you know that's kind of what's going on right now, don't you? I mean, the GM dealerships aren't even giving employees pricing anymore. They're not giving us any discounts. Everybody's out there buying Jeeps and Ram trucks and everything else because they can get a better deal on those than they can their own company cars.
Yeah, that's insane.
Well, even the big shots today at Cope, when they were getting dropped off at the door, they were in Mitsubishi's or really fancy foreign sports cars, They ain't even driving the cars that they're saying they're trying to keep in our country, for God's sake. I mean, you talk about bigots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's on some of the Facebook pages, on some of the GM sites, that people are saying, is there a dealership anywhere in Indiana or Michigan or, you know, wherever they're at that will give a GM discount? Because this person, these ones are not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and here you build your own vehicles and you can't even get employee pricing, or you build your own vehicles and you can't even afford to buy them anymore.
Yeah,
I got my GM discount here, and Tony Young does give it in Owosso, but what pisses me off is he gives it to any swinging dick or what have you that walks in the door. Everybody gets the GM employee family discount. He advertises that on TV.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, when COVID hit, they started shipping everything out the door, and there used to be a baseline amount for they would call it the dealership price, you know, where they would pay the dealership, I'll give you a ballpark, $1,200 for prep work, you know, to clean it out, to take off the bags off the seats and everything. Well, they started forcing us to ship stuff, even if it had a dent or scratch on it, and they started giving the dealership $2,000 just so that truck didn't have to go back to final process for a repair.
Well, you're right.
So now they can discount them more now, but they're not.
Yeah. Hey, does anybody know how many vehicles Lordstown was building at the end?
I can't answer that question.
I mean, if they hadn't closed it, they'd probably be running three shifts now, because you can sell a lot of small cars when gas is $4.50 or $5 a gallon.
Yep.
And our union allowed that.
You're right.
We're like the blind led by the blind.
Yeah.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
What was the old saying, Paul? I see, said the blind man to his deaf friend before he hit him with a hammer.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like the way Jesus put it, that where the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. That's a good picture of the big three and the United Auto Workers.
Yep. So, you know, this last week, Toyota's, one of their execs came out. He's their chief scientist. And he said that, look, he says, don't rush this EV. The world isn't ready for EVs yet. And he's telling people, he said, he's the CEO. He said, look, he said, a sudden transition to EVs at the expense of an internal combustion, it would damage Japan's economy. He said, more recently, he said, it's important for the customers in different regions, the choice of an EV or a conventionally powered vehicle. And I'm thinking, well, that makes sense. We're not going to do it. Right? So
I can't see it happening.
No. He's saying the world is not ready for EVs yet.
I agree.
At least not everybody. I mean, you all remember when the smart car came out? That was made by, was that BMW made the smart car, or was it Mercedes that made the smart car?
I thought it was the guy that owned Penske. Wasn't that Penske?
Uh-uh.
I think it was BMW.
Yeah.
I think it was German.
The Mini Cooper, too, yep. Okay, so when the smart car come out, okay, I'm going, okay, so where are the applications that you use a smart car? New York City, Chicago, maybe Detroit. How about like Gippsland or East Lansing, you know, college towns where they're real tight? Okay, that might make sense. But to see one on the highway next to a semi thinking to run this over like an egg, you know what I mean? It didn't make a practical sense to have it on the highway. But it made sense to have it somewhere where I think it's confined for space, parking especially. Okay, I can see that. Well, they quit making them, and they are going to continue the Mini Cooper, but they're going to slow the production down also. The smart cars are gone. But I guess the same, what I'm trying to say is the same thing with electronic vehicles. Not everybody's going to need one, and there's only going to be practical places for the use of it. And hauling with a truck on the highway is not one of them. Hauling a fifth wheeler is not one of them. You know what I'm saying? And and you're going to be forced into buying something you're not going to want. And whoever has that internal combustion engine you know, left is the one who's going to get that market. Period. So. Food for thought. Right?
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say what's going to happen. I mean, we got a very important week ahead of us. Hopefully somebody will give us some updates. I'm sure Jimmy will be giving us an update. You're going to be there all day tomorrow, Jimmy?
Correct. I'm going to try and go down every day of the week, but like I said, that's a long-ass drive. I wish they would have just let me, you know, get a card for the whole week because that adds 2.5 hours every day in that rush hour, and then you got road 75, 23, they're all screwed up. So it's orange barrels and a lot of hand signals. I remember my classes from down because they were good.
Why not get a hotel somewhere on the outskirts?
I couldn't find anything unless you got outside of 16 mile. I already actually did call around. There was a couple nasty places I wouldn't stay at. You know, hell, I wouldn't even let you stay there.
How about Nine?
Well, there was one place I found on 9 and DeQuinder that was open. And, you know, I mean, the guy told me it was $99 a night, and if I wanted clean sheets, that was another 20. As soon as he said that, I'm like, nah, I don't think I want this joint.
Right.
So, but yeah, we'll think about it. But yeah, I'm going to try and be there as much as I can exactly. I know Wednesday is nomination day. I damn sure want to be there for that. So anybody going, Wednesday will be the day that the real happenings probably, you know, that's the day candidates are going to get nominated. And right now it's still, do we even have a delegate? You know what I mean? The last I heard UAWD, I don't think they got one in, did they?
I don't think so.
I can't verify it, but if we did, we got very few in.
Let me welcome Lemon. Hold on. Lemon
ahead,
Scotty.
Brian.
Lemon Scotty says hello. From Local 685 Kokomo, Indiana.
All right.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
Hello.
Kokomo.
Hello. So if Gary Workwitz was one in our delegate, I wonder, is he part of the UAWD? He won a delegate spot. I wonder if he's going to nominate somebody.
I have no idea, but I guess my question to you guys is, would I nominate somebody who is currently on staff?
You asking me? I would say no, because that's no change.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, okay. So the general consensus would be no?
I wouldn't.
No.
Okay. So there is a group that I'm going to leave nameless, that is supporting somebody who's on staff currently, and they're running for president of the UAW, And they also are supporting somebody for Region 1 and for Secretary Treasurer.
Correct.
Okay.
So
with that being said,
they're also on staff.
Hmm. Interesting.
Lemon Scotty in the chat, Scotty in the chat room said Sean Fain. Is that, am I saying that right? Yes, it's UAUD. I don't know who this person is. I apologize.
All right. It is. I stepped away from that. Okay, yeah. It's Sean Fain. Fain? Maybe Fain. Sean Fain. He's saying it's the UAWD is supporting him. And they have combined. The UAWD has combined with another group, I believe, and it's United for Democracy or United for America. There's another name for them now. So I don't know what that group is called. And I don't know. All I'm saying is, Lemon Scotty's got it right, man, from Kokomo. You got the right name, so do you have the right person that you're going to nominate? And why would you nominate somebody when you've been so outspoken and somebody who supported one member, one vote, and then vote and stand behind somebody who's on staff right now?
Well, hold on. Lemon Scotty says he's in the sellout house now, so it doesn't sound like he's going to support him.
That's what we're trying to say. He's got 25 years on staff right now, I believe, isn't it, Scott?
And he's an administrative executive, one of the vice presidents.
Under Curry right now. That's what I mean. So where the hell is the change there?
Here's an old retiree. Here's an old retiree and his thoughts. I can tell you this. If you were there when all this crap was going on, I want you out the door. I don't want you there because I know you heard something, seen something, you know something, and didn't do a damn thing about it. So you could keep your little job, and that's exactly why. And I will not support anybody like that. Sorry.
Well, you have.
To that person for saying that, because he just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yes, he did.
I can't support anybody who's been sitting there. You had to have seen the newspaper articles. You had to have seen something. And you're going to support somebody who didn't have the CALS to open his flapper? Come on. No,
Carrie, that's called balls. Didn't have the balls to do a damn thing. And you're right. I just can't support anybody like that. No way.
And furthermore, you need to put your, as Jack Handy used to say, deep thoughts on this. Why would somebody who's currently an administrative assistant to somebody pull away from that person and run for president?
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
know what you're saying. But then this guy could be, just good as gold, and he probably is. I'm sorry. I can't support somebody that was there. I can't do it. In my mind, if you knew and you wanted to save your job, you wanted to keep your job, and the little power you think you have, and throw the rest of us away and let them crap on us for all these years. And I can't support somebody that would allow that. If he would have came out and said, hey, this guy, I vote for him, the President of the United States. But he didn't. He didn't.
Yeah.
He kept their secrets. He kept their secrets, and we don't need nobody like that.
No, we don't.
We got big problems.
We got a huge problem. You know what? Every other union was getting their ass kicked back in the 70s and 80s. And you might recall, you know, the secretary would be stealing this kind of money here and there. UAW was always clean.
Right.
It was always the Teamsters or the school teachers union. It was always some other union. It was never the UAW. And I was proud of that. I was really proud of that.
Yeah.
And just look at, so what, 16 people? And they didn't go far enough. They could have went farther and got Jokic and everybody else, allegedly.
Sure. Well, they were after Jokic and his top performance when Jokic died. So I remember a spokesman for the Justice Department stating that. But, you know, for the most part, it's sad, but to be on international staff, now you either have to be corrupt or spineless, because that's the only way they'll move you up. Many years ago, a guy was a shop committeeman at the Metal Center. Told me that he'd been in a meeting where a guy raised his hand, asked Reuben Burks, what you needed to do to be on staff. And the answer was, it really doesn't matter how competent or whatever you are, how good you are, you have to go along with the program if you're going to go on staff. That's why Dave Yeton never made it. And a lot
Reuben
of these New Directions. Yeah, New Directions people, they were very capable, but they wouldn't go with the program.
Yeah. His granddaughter worked at the truck plant for a very short time until she got fired stealing toilet paper, by the way.
Yeah.
And that was the third time. What's that?
Stealing toilet paper?
Yeah, and also saying she put a $5 bill in one of the Coke machines or something, one of the machines, and didn't get anything back. Well, they caught her and they set her up, and Reuben got her back in 3 or 4 times and he got tired of it. He said, you're done. You're done.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I remember her up in the metal. We were in the cab shop upstairs. I forgot. I don't remember her name.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that something?
I hope she grew out of it and grew up a little bit. And hopefully she's doing well. She was a nice person. Don't doubt. She was nice. But, man, you got
right.
You know, you're making all... I think somebody told me she... was on drugs, and that's why she was doing what she was doing. And I feel sorry for her. That's a hard move to get off your back.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we got 10 minutes. You keep saying, wow, I'm going to come over there and shoot you, Scott.
Shoot me. Shoot me. Give me all my misery. Shoot me. No, I just can't get my head around where people's minds were at. In the last 6 weeks, when we were voting for constitutional delegates, how many people listened to this show? How many people just didn't give us shoot? And voted the same people in to go down there and do the same thing they've been doing.
Well, hold on, Scotty. Hold on. Now, when I was there, there were two places to vote, downstairs and at the Union Hall. They made it so much easier for people to vote because you only got a 10-minute break, right? They made it easy. They had a can up in paint. They had a can in body. They had cans where you could be working on the line and take a minute to go vote. It's right there. And they still didn't vote. They still, well, how many people voted, Scotty? You remember? It was disgusting.
1,600.
Very
1,600
disgusting.
Out of 5,500. 1,600 out of 5,500.
You know, I was watching the can at the Union Hall for somebody. I can't remember who it was. And these guys were coming in. They filed in, and they were all talking, and they were dressed nice. And I said, and they were filling out, you know, paper to vote. I said, who in the hell are you guys? Oh, we're at Solidarity House, and somebody else was somewhere else, but this is our local. I never seen these guys in my life. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know who they were, but they show me their stuff. 598.
Yep.
And there was a
yep.
bunch of them. It wasn't just a few of them. It was a lot of them.
Right. That time we still had the Center for Hidden Relatives going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So,
do they still have that thing in the Southfront Plaza on Hemp Hill Road in Fenton? They had something, UAWGM something over there. One of the council, Flint council people from, and worked at General Motors. He worked there. And I can't remember what the hell it was called. Some kind of Union Resource Center or something. I don't know. It was like a money, just dumping money wherever they could.
Right. Wow. Not aware. Isn't that something?
Yeah, you tell these folks, you know, if they're the president or vice president, don't vote for them. If you want change,
right.
Vote for them. And they go ahead and vote for these people and expect them to do what you want them to do. I just don't understand that. I really don't understand that.
Right.
They shouldn't able to run, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Wow. I don't know. This is, you're right. It's just a way to frickin' spend more money. If you got more money than you know what to do with.
Well, you gotta
ridiculous.
You gotta spend it to pocket some of it, you know, allegedly.
Absolutely.
You can't just keep it in the
absolutely.
Bank. You gotta spread the wealth, baby. And they've
right.
got a lot of money. Lots of money to do that with.
Yep. Yep. More than what you and I have, that's for sure. Oh, it is ours, wasn't it? I forgot.
Yeah.
It's ours. Well, it was ours.
Yeah. Local 65, Kokomo, Indiana. Awesome.
Very
good.
I remember back in the day, Kokomo was big, and so was Anderson.
Yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Anderson.
That's
Anderson.
That's
25,000 people. They were like the size of Buick City.
Wow. Yeah, I remember Anderson in Indiana. Geez, going down to Alabama, we passed that, and I go, boy, that's a big, they got a big plant there.
It's funny you should say that. I was going to wear a, what the hell do you call that shirt down there today, remembering the one company down there in Ohio, and nobody knew who the hell they were, so I took it off. I mean, it was that Pabco union and how they busted it. Yeah, who the hell's Pabco? So you don't remember the airport terminal or the airport people?
Oh, man. Now, there's somebody sent me something earlier in the week to play tonight. But now I got to go find it.
Should hand out the Warren memo while I'm down there. What do you think of that, Scott?
So I'll come
pass out the Warren memo.
Yeah.
The Warren memo?
I gave you a copy of that a long time ago. That's okay. I'll get you another copy somehow.
If it's a long time ago, you know, I've already forgotten.
Yeah, that could be. So you got about 5 minutes. So you found what you got to play?
I'm trying to find it, Scotty. Give me a minute.
Okay.
I
he's only
someone...
got four left, Scott, so he's running out. Four.
Bunch of smart asses.
Three. That's putting pressure on you.
Something about
did somebody list. Call for a smart ass?
Oh, God.
There you go. Come on. You're live.
313 makes me sick. Oh,
don't
damn.
Get a piece of this pie,
you
huh?
Know, you know, we've been doing this for 18 years, and just listening to his voice, I want to stop doing it. I want to just...
That's why you haven't been married for more than 18 years, because they couldn't stand it either.
I've been married 21 years, thank you very much.
To the same person?
Yeah. Yeah, to the same person. I finally got one that'll stay.
Somebody's stepping out.
Boy, you'd be surprised how many Pornhub things are on here. And they're not mine, believe me. People send me all kinds of crap. I should open some of these up one day. But it was about the battery, and somebody, it was not a newer a vehicle, but they were driving from Saginaw, and they were going, I forgot where they're going. It wasn't very far, but they had to stop in Rochester, plug it in for 20 minutes to finish their journey. And the guy said, that, you know, if you're trying to make time with these, and it was an older car, so maybe the battery wasn't up to speed, but he said, we weren't going over, it was like 120 miles, and they had to stop in Rochester.
From Saginaw.
Yeah. And let it charge for 20 minutes, but then they had to locate a charger first, and he said, that wasn't really easy. It wasn't easy at all, but they found, I think it was at Walmart or one of the stores had some docking. And some places are charging. Some places off the expressway on 69 going out down Indiana Way and Kentucky, they're charging. It depends on how long you want to charge. If you want a 5-hour charge, it's going to cost you $20 in some places. Now, I don't know if it's all the places, but
it's not going to be
cheap no matter how you go about it. You know,
it's 5 hours of your time you got to give up. 5 hours.
Yeah. God, it'd take us 2 days to get to where I'm from.
It'd take you more than that.
Yeah, I'd have to stop somewhere probably on the other side of Indianapolis before I got to Kentucky and get a room and plug in.
Yeah. Hey, before
you go down, just hook up to me. I'll put a Honda generator on the top. You're good to go.
Ah, you heave. You would think
between that, we'll put a solar panel on the hood. Shit, we'll double up on his ass, Scott. and they'll be from China.
Oh yeah, of course they will be. Of course, that's where all our solar panels and our windmills and everything else is coming from. Because remember, Solyntra went out of business because that was going to be our big savior. Yeah. Remember that, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
remember windmilling up.
What a big...
Don't you remember how it was, let's use all their oil, then we've got all the oil, and we'll have the gold. Well, now it's our turn. We have enough oil here for 400 years, from what I read, right? And
yeah,
they don't want us to use our shit now.
Yeah. Yeah, we were supplying oil to countries that we hadn't, you know, for the first time we were able to sell a million gallons. But, you know, that was back when we had a president that wanted to take care of our gas prices. And I'm
what
not
song
blaming
are you playing?
Biden. I'm not blaming Biden. He's not running the country. Just wish I knew who was.
Well, just think of all that good stuff on that stock information that Pelosi just fell into, you know?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's $1 billion and it quadruples in 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's something. And not be embarrassed about it at all. Not at all.
They trained our international staff. We entitled motherfucker.
That's right, buddy. You bet. Here's a little bit.
Nancy Pelosi responds after husband's recent stock purchases. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office responded to criticism about her husband's purchase of semiconductor stocks ahead of Congress's vote targeting the industry. The Speaker does not own any stocks. As you can see from the required disclosures, with which the Speaker fully cooperates, these transactions are marked SP for spouse. The Speaker has no prior knowledge or subsequent involvement in any transactions, Pelosi's spokesman, Drew Hamill, told news outlet.
Oh, bullshit. God. Yeah, I don't talk to my husband. Nope, don't talk to him about anything. And they did this with the telecommunication a few years ago, and 60 Minutes called them out on it. And she got caught doing it then too. And then they changed the rules, and by the time they got the vote on it, it was watered down so bad you might as well not even add a new law.
Yeah, but Martha Stewart didn't water her stuff down, and she went to prison for the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Amen. Sure here, here.
And it wasn't not as egregious as this. She didn't have somebody in Congress married to somebody in Congress that knew there was a vote coming up. They made $5 million. When was it? It was longer than that. About 15 years ago, on the same type of deal, and he bought a bunch of stock and turned it over and made $5 million in about 25 minutes. They said.
Nice. Nice. Well, I never thought to ask you or mention this to anybody, but did you want to do any kind of a special show?
What's that?
Did you want to do any kind of a special show?
It's up to you there, Scott and Jimmy and Carrie and Paul.
I'll tell you what, Scott, let's get with Brian and then everything works out right. I don't see why he wouldn't want to get on here and do a show Wednesday after, you know, or whatever during the week. But I think we should ask Brian himself before having me say, yes, Brian would do this. But I think Brian would be acceptable to that.
You know, Jimmy, if you're going to be there, you could tell me, and if you could find a quiet spot somewhere, and not so quiet, but a spot that, I would set up a show and you could tell us what's going on. You'd be our
Let me run that by them guys and see what they say. They were talking they were going to take our phones away.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, they don't. And I understand what they're trying to do. They don't want to. I don't think they want us to record it or have a video because I don't know if Scott's aware of, but to my knowledge, they still have not released the statements from the last convention. And, you know, and I know a few people that are trying to get them.
Yep. Just put it in your prison pocket.
I thought they got caught up in the fire.
Yeah.
Well, they sure did. We'll talk about that, and we'll see. Maybe we'll do something Wednesday for an hour to get an update on what's happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe.
Yep.
I'll get with you tomorrow when you get off work, Scott, and then me and you will ramrod something, and then you know how to get a hold of Couch because all I know how to do is get him mad when I call him.
You ain't lying, you do. I call Scott.
He didn't like it when I toilet papered his yard, Scott. He was all pissed off when he seen I toilet papered it. And then when he saw it was dirty toilet paper,
Hold on here. I didn't see the message until this afternoon. I said, oh, God, now what the hell did I do? because Jimmy doesn't ever get a hold of me unless he's cussing me out or something. So I play it. He's telling me something. I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. So I send a text over to Scotty, and I said, call me when you can. And Scotty explained, ran it by me and told me what was going on. Because Jimmy, you know, he gets a little hot under the collar. Jimmy.
Actually, I wasn't hot under the collar. I just walked a half a mile uphill leaving the convention. I was flat ass out of breath.
Oh, I believe that. I believe it. Anyway, that's all right.
It cost a fortune to park down there, Don.
What's that, sir?
It cost me $16 for an hour and 20 minutes.
$16? Oh, God.
Or I think it said $32 for all day.
Damn. Wow. Now, where in the hell is that at?
Well, the place by Cobo was full by the time I got there.
Yeah, I
so where I parked was in that. I parked in that underground thing way down by duty free and had to walk a long ways.
Jesus, yeah, God.
I was east of Hart Plaza.
Wow, you did have a little trek to get down to Cobo.
It brought back memories, but last time I was running like hell when I tracked that road, you know what I mean?
Well, Jimmy, you put on about 5 or 6 pounds since then. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, it was a good concert. I was just trying to get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah. Cobo always had good concerts back in the day. Silver Bullet Band, Live.
Hell
that was
yeah.
The breakthrough album, you bet. Absolutely. A lot of
yeah,
good
remember
bands.
That? I got a. What, how did you tell us that? I got a 4-track tape machine running right here, people. Make some noise.
That's right. Got a good memory. And that was his breakthrough album, and then the rest is history. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well,
okay,
hey, guys,
good.
I'm going to get off here. I'll do what I said, Don. I'll get with Scott Tamir. We'll ramrod some shit together, and hopefully Brother Brian will come on here and tell us we're making really good history.
Well, that'd be nice. We can do a show and you can tell us what's going on. It doesn't have to be a long show or nothing like that. Just give us a holler. Let us know what's going down.
Right,
we'll
we
see.
Need an update.
Go ahead, Scott.
Do an update and we'll go from there. Like I said.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Lemon Scotty. Lemon Scotty, don't be such a damn, don't disappear on us like that. We were worried about you. Come on. Don't make us worry. I'm an old man. Come on. Damn. Local.
You guys have a good night now.
65, Kokomo, Indiana. Lemon Scotty.
Lemon Scotty, have a good night. Thanks for checking in.
All right.
Thank you for everybody. And we'll see you sometime through the week for an update on the convention. And if not, we'll see you next Sunday.
Yep. Okay, guys. Good night, Lemon Scotty. Nice to see you are back. I'm glad. And on behalf of everybody on the UAW Factory Whistle Show, good evening. We'll see you the 31st. The 31st of July. Can you believe that? 30 more days, and we'll be in wintertime. It'll be winter, we're shoveling snow. Good night, everybody. Be
good night,
safe
everybody.
And careful all week, guys. Good night.
Bye, sumbitch.